All right, well, that went a little long. But we've got our next couple of presentations going on here if everyone wants to take a seat and get ready. So next up presenting is Leo Kuhl from BrightSight. He has 7 years of experience as a security evaluator at BrightSight, and he has a background in mathematics. He manages a group of security evaluators working on products such as payment terminals, HSMs, telecommunication devices, taxi computers, and email filters. Leo is the contact person for the Dutch, German, and UK banking schemes. And he's going to speak to us about the certification scheme in Germany and the Netherlands. Leo?
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, the Dutch and the German payment scheme. I am involved in quite some common criteria evaluations, and I see that my presentation is not on the...
Let me see if I can fix that.
Yeah.
One sec.
What? Okay. Yeah, sorry. Actually, I have an introduction which is not really needing my presentation. I'm involved in quite some... common criteria evaluations, like taxi computers, also email filters, routers, working on all different types of evaluations. And this experience, I would like to show you in the presentation, and use this experience to tell a little bit about the dynamics of what's going on in common criteria. Especially because the common criteria gives some kind of a structure that helps people to think in a secure way about their product. And this structure with all the different classes that are there in common criteria helps the people, not only the lab, not only the scheme, but also the developer to think in a direction that they start to think, hey, we have to make a secure product. And how do I think in a way that you should think this becomes secure? What is really security thinking? And that's what I want to present, if I can find my presentation.
Sorry. Okay.
Oh, there we go. That looks promising.
There we go.
Ta-da.
Okay.
Just make it full screen.
Yeah.
CC. So, just gave a short introduction. Let me show you what I want to present this in the direction of our experience with the German and the Dutch scheme. I worked also with the Norwegian schemes, but especially because the Dutch and the German scheme are SOGE IS compliant. I think most of the people in this room are most interested in this scheme, these two schemes. And especially I want to tell about the experience we have about the dynamics of common criteria. So the outline a bit, CC schemes, what is the actual process? When we as a lab have to present to the schemes, what is the processes that we follow? The scheme procedures, I will go over them and to show them how you can use it. And I will give you, especially the developers, a way that they can do toe scoping and how can you make your toe descriptions such that we as a lab can actually use it. That is some kind of not always a trivial thing. And then I will give a short summary. CC. I try to convince you that CC really helps the developers and every party to think security. CC is not a tool of a list of security requirements that we as a lab should follow. It really is a toolbox, and this toolbox can be used to make a security standard, or to make a security statement. When you make this toolbox, and you use this toolbox, as a developer you already have to think about what is actually the security I'm implementing. And that's an important part. You really start to think, what is the actual security I'm implementing? So what are the actual properties that the product will be tested? And we as a lab then think, how should it be tested? And if you, that are the typical things that are common criteria based to answer, and the common criteria answers challenges the scheme and the developer to do that. But then also we have the who is actually testing it, and there it comes in scope that the here we have the Dutch and the German schemes. They challenging the lab and say, do you really have the knowledge? Do you really know what you are doing? And they have scheme rules and scheme procedures to challenge the lab, and they all also have accreditations. So we cannot blindly do stuff. We really have to do it in a way the scheme requires us. When it comes to common criteria, I think quite some people know already, but I would love to repeat it here. You have to do, as a developer, you make a statement. You make a security claim that your product has some kind of, what kind of security is implemented. And then what is really excellent in the this statement is a rather formal document. And in this statement, you present the actual functional requirements. Then the security, the CC really has a handy way to say, hey, but we have two different types of requirements. That's not only the functional requirements, but also the assurance requirements, as it is called. And this assurance requirements helps the developer to think in a way what should the developer provide to the developer to the lab, and what should the evaluator do to know whether it's secure enough. And these two things, these two set of requirements, all the time is challenging the developer and the scheme and the lab to provide a security thinking. All the time, and especially when I am at the developer's place, then this requirement helps me to say to the developer, yeah, sorry, you have to think in this way. This is the way the CC works, and they make sense, actually. And you see that, especially for young developers, I was doing what I said, the taxi computers, they understand what is required if you explain it in a proper way. And especially from a high level point of view, the different classes, I will show them later in this presentation, they work very naturally together, and they help the developer to go over every aspect of their product. Now, we also have the strictness, and the strictness is how secure should your product be. We have different type of attackers in the field. Some are very smart, but we have a bunch of people that are also doing some hacking, but are less smart. And the different ill levels of AVA vulnerability attack levels help the can be set in the evaluation, can be required. And also this attack potential rating, when I was working with developers that were really new in the field, they immediately understand, and they started to calculate stuff and challenge the lab that it is secure enough, and we challenge them to get it back. So we have a natural and objective discussion based on the CC. The Dutch and the German scheme. So we have two different schemes we're reporting to, and both are part of the CCRA. This is the overall CC organization. And in the CCRA, we have mutual recognition agreements based on IL2. But SOGIS, as you can see there on the bottom of my slides, they have a measure of recognition on a higher level. But not for all the products. They do it for the smart cards, and they do it for hardware devices and HSMs and security boxes. Now, the topic of the whole conference will be part of that. And then the question is, of course, if you have some kind of a general statement and a general set of requirements, and you're making that, how can you be sure that the common criteria is really common? In the sense that if you do one evaluation and you do it with another lab, that you have similar similar results. And this quality of the product, of the evaluation, and also the common criteria-ness, of the common in the common criteria, is based on that you have proper reviews. So you have the developer, that's one party, you have licensed facilities, you have the actual overseer and the certification bodies. And the developer is reviewed by the lab, and the lab is then reviewed by the overseer, and the overseer is kind of reviewed by the certification body. And if everyone in the whole process is happy, then we will get, the developer gets the certificate. And if you look at the Dutch scheme, they have really a separation between the overseer and the certification body. They are separate. The overseer is called the Enskip, and TÜV Rijnland is making the final stamp. So we as a lab don't give a stamp. It's the overseer that gives the final stamp. And in Germany, that's slightly different because there we have BSI, and BSI is all in one. So how is this quality control work? So we as a lab, we go to the developer, and we check all the assurance requirements. And this has to do with the design, for example, the user guidance. We have the life cycle. The testing should be done properly. And also the vulnerability analysis should be done. So these are the typical CC abbreviations that are in scope. And this checks, we check them based on that. Now, the certification, the overseer and the certification body, they have their own review process. And then we have the lab that is reviewed by the overseer. And when we are evaluating, then we, all the time, I must be sure that I am at the developer and I ask sufficient questions such that we have, sufficient information to convince the overseer or certification body and the overseer that the evaluation was proper. And so as a lab, I'm not free to do anything. I should really have a convincing story. And what is CC doing there is making sure that this analysis is proper and I have a proper story finally to the overseer. And as a lab, then we are not only reviewing our work, but we also, every evaluator should do some exams. The evaluation reports, there must be a project team in the evaluation, and the scheme is checking that our team for a project is strong enough and knows it, that there are senior evaluators on the project. And every work is on the review under Enskip and BSI. When we start the project, we must show that we have actually the technical competences. Enskip should be and BSI should be convinced that we have the proper technical competences. And we, of course, have also our quality control in the ISO 17025. But also, if we report to the scheme, we find out that the scheme is also not free to say, okay, this is fine or this is not fine. There are mutual recognitions and they are aware of the fact that this specific evaluation can be reviewed by another evaluation facility, other certification body. And therefore they are really concerned. And also they say, yeah, sorry, you cannot. We cannot give you a go. We really are aware that other people are checking our work. And therefore, also these parties are not free to say yes or no. They just want to follow the actual process. And if you then finally, everyone is happy with everything, the developer gets the certificate, and that's what, of course, you are there. But what you then also see is that this certificate is of value, because there is a lot of processes in place, and the quality is really on a level that is there, because everyone must be convinced that the work is properly done. Let us go a little bit into evaluation process and reporting forms we have for the different schemes and how this process influences the evaluations. These are the different clauses we have in common criteria, and they have also the abbreviations. Here we have the abbreviations, and sometimes you just speak in abbreviation types. And let us focus a little bit on product design, the product design description, the ADV. ADV consists of different classes. And to get this information out of the developers and to get a proper, I should phrase it slightly different, but to get really a good and proper understanding that is sufficient to convince the scheme, that's not an easy task. And if we look at the processes we have there, we see that, especially if you go to the developers and have discussions with the developer how it exactly works, that is most of the cases the way that we get a good understanding of the device. And it goes in two ways. When I do a code review, for example, for a few developers, I get an understanding of the device, but what I do is going to the developer and go together with the developer to search through the code and to understand the actual code. And when I do the developer, most of the cases, knows this from a functional perspective. They go over the code and they notice this from a functional perspective. Now, a lab is trained to do really security checking on that. And the first time I go then to the developer, you see that there are, most of the cases, quite some flaws in it. But they are trained to see how it works. So there is how you can do security checking on code. And the next time you go to the developer, you already see that they are trained also in the similar way. So here we have an example that that the CC evaluation doesn't not only influence saying whether there is a pass or a go. A CC evaluation also brings the processes of the actual security, whole security department and the security people in the companies. Brings it on a higher level. And I think that is really an advantage that is what CC has, because of very deep digging into the security and the device with the and also for lifecycle. You see that one nice example, possibly good to tell, is in the lifecycle when I do site audits there. What you see is a lot of people are working there and they work together, and at a certain point you don't challenge each other anymore. But an auditor is of course challenging everyone, and once I had an HR guy that thought that his badges, if he puts on disable, that also the doors were disabled for his badges. But it turns out that there are two different networks and two different management systems. So for 7 years, he thought he was in charge, but he was not actually. So that are the typical things that also a CC evaluation or an auditing work helps to see that how different parties can work together and don't, because they are already working for so long, they don't know anymore that they actually misunderstand each other. This is one example in lifecycle, but you see it also in more the design of the product, where one department is really taking care of the firmware, another part is taking care of the application. They never really talk to each other in a way that they actually always already thought that they were understanding each other. But then they have a discussion, and especially in the CC, and what we are doing is going most of the times to the customers and having discussions with the experts. And in this way, you can find out that there is a misunderstanding. If you ask the same question to different experts, then they have another topic, another vision on the actual product. And this kind of a challenging is what CC can what the CC evaluator can do, and therefore it's very beneficial for the security of the product. Now let's go quickly over the other parts. We have a security statement I just explained. It also describes the manuals. You don't only have a secure product, but you also should use it securely. A lot of products that you can use insecurely, and then you have a very nice secure product which is just not used in the proper way. So the user guidance should explain that. And there is testing, and the CC requires that the developer does proper testing and proper security testing. So all the tests should be done with all kinds of rules there. And finally, there is an AVA part, and that's where the out-of-the-box thinking starts, and where the creative part of the evaluation really starts, apart from already getting an understanding of the actual device. And this AVA part is a part that helps we really have to think how not to use the product, and that makes it the creative part of the evaluation. Let us show you a bit about the processes at the Dutch scheme. In the second part, I will go over the processes of the German scheme, and we will compare them a little bit so that you have an idea how this actually goes. The Dutch scheme has the three different phases in the evaluation. There is a kickoff, a preparation phase, a monitoring phase, and if you are that's finished and everyone is happy, and we go to the certification phase and the actual certificate will be made. The kickoff is really a kickoff so that all the parties that are involved in the evaluation come together at one place and they discuss how they will see the actual evaluation. So there is the draft work plan that everyone has understands, but also there is a draft security target. So you will already discuss what kind of security product is there, and that's exactly the moment to explain and to discuss and to put on the table what kind of problems are to be seen. And you can, what kind of peculiarities are there? Are there open questions to Enscape to Enscape here in this case? What is the actual toe scope? Does this toe scope make sense? So everyone can put everything on the table to make sure that the risks are as minimal as possible. Then we do the evaluation as a lab. We're checking all the different classes. So here we have all the different classes are handled. We do our full investigations. We go to the customer. We have our interviews. We do code reviews. We do at least parts of it. And then we present. And in the Dutch scheme, we really go and make a presentation for the Dutch scheme. We're going to sit 1 or 2 day giving this presentation, and we discuss really on a meeting basis. We discuss how the product looks like, and this has something to do with the old oral exam you have. Of course, you as an evaluator, you want to have an answer on all the actual questions that comes up, and this is quite a challenging job, I must say, as an evaluator. Also a fun job. That's the other part. And what we do is to really understand how the toe works in this environment, what kind of interface specifications are there, so we have to collect them all, and the scheme can ask that. What kind of subsystems are there, how are they working together, the mappings, the typical security requirements, how are they really working inside the toe, and how are they working on how are they invoked from outside. We're going to explain what kind of IMP, what kind of code reviews or what kind of other internet implementation representations we have. So we do some checking on that. We at least tell what kind of checking we're going to do, and also the configuration items. So just So in that presentation, we really show the scheme, hopefully, that we have a proper understanding of the device. And every question they can think of, hopefully, we will answer it. During this presentation, preferably also the developer is there, and the Dutch scheme is very open in that. Sometimes you have a question where the developer can has an answer, and we can come up with, they can help the lab to really get the proper answer. That's handy. So in the end of this meeting, everyone on the table has the understanding of how the toe works. Now, once that is done, we do the second evaluation meeting, and we go. We're going to analyze our understanding of the toe, and we come up with a vulnerability analysis. What kind of we check the developer testing approach. We're going to evaluate their testing. What is their testing proper, and all the different requirements. But then we come up with the vulnerability analysis, and we will check whether we can find ways to shoot holes in the product. And we will define all kinds of penetration testing, all the testing that the lab will do. We evaluate the whole life cycle of the product on a documentation basis, and we will show them what we're going to check, what sites we're going to do, and what site audits we're going to perform, and what kind of approach we're going to take there. So that's the second evaluation meeting. Everyone is on the table. The developer is welcome to participate in the meeting. And then we have the final evaluation. All the testing is done, site audit is done, everyone is happy, the lab is convinced that it is a secure product, otherwise the evaluation meeting will not take place. That's the last chance that the scheme can challenge us, can show us. We will show all the testing results, the site audit results, and then we will have a final security target. And sometimes, if we have time, we even during the meeting can already finish the ETR, the final reports that we have to provide to the scheme. It's not an official one, but in the practical sense, we have done all the evaluation step, and we really can provide a scheme with, we are happy, we are fine. So completing the evaluation. And then we are in the certification basis, and we have put all the inputs to the certificate, to the scheme, and the scheme then can go on with making a certificate. So that's the final evaluation phase. BSI is very similar. BSI is very similar. This is also a scheme. It has very similar processes. BSI is the certification part of BSI is slightly is just a part of the whole BSI organization. That's something you can keep in mind. For example, there is the big cryptology technology department, and they have influence on the actual tests and the vulnerability analysis that's there. But also for the Dutch scheme, they're also part of a bigger organization, and they also have their backup there. How does the process look like in Germany? And how does it differ, actually, from the Dutch scheme? Of course, we have also a start meeting. So actually, this is completely the same. Everyone is the same. Everyone comes together. You have a meeting. So that's the plan, same slide. But then in Germany, every class should be provided in a little bit more formal, a more formal way. We should provide intermediate reports, as it's called, for every class. For every class we saw, we should show in every class that we've done our job. It has an advantage, has a disadvantage from both sides. What we have, for example, you can show exactly that you have seen all the work units, so all the different requirements are exactly formally shown that it is done. You have less of a discussion of is the design really understood. Sometimes all the work units doesn't give the scheme exactly the understanding that the developer has. So that's the other side. So what the scheme possibly has more. also, it's a lot of more of writing. Yeah, it just takes more time for the lab in this way. Then we go for the there's the AVA kickoff, which is actually all the work units, all the things are done. But just before the lab can start testing, there is again a meeting with the different parties, and then the certifier, the lab, and sometimes the certifier brings some extra experts in, and they're going to challenge the lab. Why do you think your vulnerability analysis is sufficient? And this is a rather challenging meeting again, where the experts of the BSI is challenging our people to convince them we have to convince them that we did a proper job. And here BSI is also very strict that the developer can sit in a meeting, but should be very silent. And can only open. You can only say something when when it's specifically asked. So they are very strict in this. Now, is everything? We do our testing. We show our testing reports, and that will be sent to the BSI, and BSI will then review it, come with comments, and hopefully we can close all the intermediate reports, and everyone is happy. And then, again, we make a final report, and the certification body makes a certificate. So that's the actual process to give you an overview of how it works and how this process works. But the CC has some limitations. It is a very general standard, and it is a standard that doesn't change so much anymore. And especially, the scheme must know that there is all the CC requirements are completely covered. The CC covers that. But there is a rationale that every CC must be a good rationale, and there must be a common approach for each lab. And there it already starts to be, is everyone doing exactly the same? Especially BSI is challenging the labs and come, hey, one lab can do this. Can you do it as well? And they challenge all the labs to be all on the same level. And that's important for, I think, the quality of the work we are doing. As a lab, you really should be on the top of all the knowledge from a security perspective. And the scheme is can play a role there to make sure that everyone is on the same level. What the CC, for example, doesn't define, it's a general statement, and it's an attack potential rating, an attack. If one lab can do it, it should be sure that all the labs can actually do it. So the security of the product somehow should be improved during the time, because all the attackers become more smart. So that's the challenge we have there. And also, as a lab, you should therefore become more smart. So they have so-called scheme procedures and interpretations, and these help the lab to, and also the developers, and it's a very useful product also for the developers to understand how the scheme currently looks at the real life. For example, emission measurements, the strength of cryptographic and algorithms, how random number generators work. These are the typical documents that change during the time and helps the different labs to be on one level. So there we have, NSKIP has his procedures. Also, SOGIS has his supporting documents. It's quite a list there. And BSI has his IES. I will not give you the German real name there. And they there are somehow 50 IESs there. And also the Dutch NSKIP will reuse a few of them, especially the random numbers generator, the 2031, and also the IES 46, which is I will show you later. There's more the crypto part of it. So let's hear the SOGIS. One good example, especially in this room, I think, is the crypto the agreed crypto algorithms. These are supporting documents that support the evaluation and informs the developer, the lab, and also the scheme to say, okay, this is the way we as scheme wants to look at crypto. If you go, for example, for the BSI, they have quite a bunch of interpretations, especially the random number generators and the crypto are things that are reused and mainly and properly used during evaluations. But BSI is also doing also further work, writing a lot of PPs and in supporting the lab in that way to make sure that and the whole community that security becomes on a level that we want to see. Another document that Germany has is the AFA kickoff document, and I'm not sure that the AFA kickoff document describes exactly what we as a lab should prevent during the AFA kickoff. And so we have also for the Dutch scheme, I think I have it in my next slide. Yes, here on the bottom you see NSP6. So this presentation way of presenting, it's very strictly and clearly described how it is how it should be implemented. They also have there is some kind of an ambiguity in the interfacing description. This is our way of interpreting and TSFI, and they have a document for that so that everyone is on the same page. Now, final topic we have here is toe scoping and the actual design description. When you are a developer and you want to have a product and you want to keep your evaluation relatively small, acceptable small, let's say like that, and then you can, sometimes you have to add a little bit more software to make sure that you have as least attack factors as you can have. And this is a typical example, as you can see in the picture. You can draw your toe scope, of course, with or without the actual application. And if you have it with the application, then you see that you only have how much? 8 interfaces. But if you say, okay, but the application I want to update every time, it's very important that it is out of scope, then you can have a lot of interfaces. And especially the number of interfaces is also allowing the lab or the attacker to hack into the product more easily. So this is one of the things that you should keep in mind. Possibly you should add a little bit more software to the toe such that you have smaller interface. And then the subsystem description, a little bit of text. What I want to say here is a subsystem description should in the end be technically, the toe should be understood from a technical level. And what we see a lot in documentation is that we have all kinds of nice blocks, and then the subsystem description is actually just a repetition of the actual requirement. So, and that's what you see. It's not one company. It's everywhere where you see this. If you have, suppose you had one block, and you ask the toe must verify the password. And then you say, this subsystem verifies the password. And you think, yeah, okay, how can I ever do a vulnerability analysis based on this information? You really should make a technical understanding of, for example, it's hard-coded, the passwords are hard-coded, or you should go as deep so that a vulnerability analysis can be made on it. And that's what I want to give to the developers to say, okay, this is the way we would like to see it as a lab. As a summary, what we see is that cryptographic modules is very similar to all other types of evaluations. There is a lot of crypto in it, but how we hack it and how we look at it as a lab, it's very similar to all kinds of other products. And especially the vulnerabilities and possibly that we find is not really on the crypto part, but what we find is that the understanding of the toe is not really consistent if how it is actually implemented, not by the developer and not by the documentation that is provided. So there is the there are the most the how it is implemented is the most places where you can find attacks or where you can find vulnerabilities. Now, I gave you a kind of summary of how the different processes worked in during the for the Dutch and the German scheme. But what we also saw is actually that this process is, apart from reporting part, both has very strict meetings where they challenge us. And they have similar requirements and they use actually the similar attack lists to challenge us to make sure that we are being on the level that we have to be. And finally, yeah, make sure that you have a proper code description that makes sense to the actual lab. Some general information you can find, where you can find extra information, where you can find the things that you want to see. And then we have possibly some time, some questions.
Actually, if it's okay with everyone, if you could maybe catch up with Leo after the presentation, because we're running a little bit over. So if you could maybe, if you have a question for him, if you could catch him outside or something like that. Thank you.
Welcome.
Thanks, Leo. Yep. I appreciate it.